Hello and welcome to the Pages Speak. I'm Pastor Stephanie Page and
I'm Joe Nathan Lee Page.
And we are so excited this evening. We have an awesome topic to speak about this evening. We're talking about I have faith, but I still get scared, worried, and depressed. That's just keeping it real, everybody. You know, we have faith. We believe in God. We believe the word. But we're also very human. And there are a lot of things we still have to deal with within ourselves. Mm-hmm. So tonight, I'm so excited to have these dynamic women with us. Aren't you excited?
Yeah.
Okay, we have Shay Owens, Coach Shay Owens, and Woman of God Extraordinary, Hainsworth. Hallelujah. So we're going to have them to introduce themselves. So Shay, want to tell me a little bit about yourself, Miss Lady?
Sure. First and foremost, thanks for allowing me the opportunity to be on your show, The Pages Speak. I appreciate you both. I am Shay Owens. I am a certified life, relationship, and business coach. I own two businesses, one called Coaching by the Word, where I do life, relationship coaching, and business coaching. And then the other is Unscripted Media Group, where we take care of all things social media management, branding, marketing, logos, videos. What you see is what you get. Yes.
All right. Hi, everybody. I'm glad to be here as well. I'm loving this platform, digging all this stuff. It feels real good. I'm Victoria Hainsworth. I am CEO of Looking Through New Eyes, where I am an educational organizer, as well as I am a mental health advocate. We do workshops on self-esteem, image building, effective communication, and we do a lot to service the community for those that need community sponsorship for dealing with recidivism. So I'm just so glad to be here this evening.
We're so excited to have you. So tonight we want to, you know, get into a subject of, you know, I have faith, but I still get scared, worried, sometimes depressed. And the problem comes is when you believe in God and when you have faith and when you're a Christian, let alone if you're in any kind of leadership position, you know, when you're going through those emotional changes or those emotional hardships, people think you're not supposed to feel that way. Didn't you say you were a Christian? Didn't you say you love God? Why are you feeling like that? And so you can't even be transparent with what you're going through because people judge you in your sense of vulnerability or when you're going through those different trials. You know, do you find it sometimes hard to just be?
To be what?
Scared, worried, depressed, troubled, going through, having issues,
I got a syndrome in me that sink or drown. Is, you know, drown or swim, whatever you want to call it. When fear hits in, I try to swim as good as I can get it. But yeah, I understand we all have to deal with fear. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. And so it becomes difficult when you say, okay, listen, I have faith. I believe in God. I'm reading the word. And there are times that you'll even be reading the word to yourself and you still like, you know, because you're looking at, you know, you still have to deal with what you see, what you hear,
yes,
what's on television, what people are telling you, what people say reality is, you know, what the bank account must say, what the doctor may be saying. And the thing is, you still have to, you know, walk in faith, even though you're dealing with those things. So I just want to turn it over, you know, to you ladies, you know, just to let me know, you know, just how do you deal with it? I have faith, but sometimes, you know, I'm dealing with some stuff. So, right, you know, whoever wants to go for Victoria, you know, you want to go first, you want to talk about it?
Of course, it's in those times when seem like all of that is going on and those challenges are there. It's those times when the challenges are there and you want to be vulnerable to talk with someone or get someone else's input on how you should deal with a situation. I found out that, you know, simply because I'm at that point, at that very moment, and I'm afraid or I'm fearful, of what the individual will think about me. So that stops me from being able to even open up. And so it makes me have to to reassess myself, reset my thoughts. And sometimes in resetting those thoughts, it can be an all-day journey of resetting myself. Moment after moment after moment, it can be a moment after moment after moment, resetting myself, getting myself to a place where I can be still and I can begin to think on the word of God or meditate on the word of God. But there's times even when I meditate on the word of God and I have to stop because nothing that's not working right then. And I have to take, you know, I have to take some other measures. I said that I'm a mental health advocate dealing with my own mental health. My mental health is the absence of a mental illness, meaning the absence of having a diagnosis. So having to just deal with that on a daily basis in that places where I'm scared. Oh, yeah. It can be so challenging. It can be challenging.
Nadia, that's so good that she actually said that. Mm-hmm. Someone asked a question. Vina asked, how do we cope with that, right? Like, Victoria, I co-sign on everything that she said, because it's in those places where we are Christian women, we're women of God, we are in that field that's supposed to help everybody else. So, like, what do we do when we are going through it ourselves? For me, I ask myself, why? Why am I afraid of this? What's causing me to be afraid? Is it I'm afraid of what someone's going to think? I'm afraid of failure. Am I afraid? Because the boogeyman ain't real. The moment you turn that light on, okay? So the enemy wants to keep you in the darkness. And that's really what fear is. Fear literally will stop you from being who God has called you to be. Fear will stop you from making that engagement with that person because you really don't know how they're going to receive you. You know, we're all very strong, powerful, nothing against you, Joe. I know you're here.
Yeah, I'm just around all the powerful women.
You know, powerful women, and we are all strong-willed and we're strong-minded. And sometimes we have that resting face, right? Well, I can speak for myself. And so people don't know how to approach me, you know? So sometimes we just have to get to a place of vulnerability to say, I don't know how to do that. I'm afraid of doing that. Because the minute you begin to become vulnerable with other people, man, you'll be so blessed. The reason I'm doing what I'm doing now, clearly God has his hand in it, but really it's because when the pages came to our church, Stephanie spoke something into me, which was that little, it was something that ignited something inside of me that had I not received that word from her, I wouldn't have been doing what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? So I probably would have walked in fear, and she told me, do not walk in fear when those doors open. And I said, okay, well, if it's for me, then God is going to bring me through it, right? So,
amen.
Amen.
And for the brothers out there, we deal with fear too, okay? Sometimes we get a little beside ourselves.
But I think when men fear, it looks different, right? Okay. Sometimes when women fear, we can go to one another and be like, girl, I ain't got this all the way together. We can be vulnerable a little bit differently than I think that our husbands can be. So that would be a great show later to have the men on, because when they fear, it comes off as dominating. It comes off as control because they don't know how to really deal with that. You know, that's just my opinion.
And actually sometimes even with women, when it's a fear field, it'll come off as domination or control or even anger or standoffishness. And really what's there is fear. But I want to go back to something that you were saying in regards to a couple of things that you all said. One thing you were saying was about dismantling the situation. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, you know, you may have to stand back and ask, why am I fearful?
Right.
What is the worst that can happen? And that's something that I've had to do. I'm like, okay, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is, and if let's say that I die, but guess what? If I die, I'm going to be with God, so I'm okay. But you still have to, what's the worst that can happen if I make this step? What's the worst that can happen? And then look at that situation. So sometimes dismantle it. But another thing I want to deal with is, you know, like you're saying, a strong people. A lot of times we don't want to display that vulnerability. And again, because of fear that someone will take advantage of that place of vulnerability. So what tends to happen is we cover it up. will put on a mask, okay? And sometimes that mask, again, that mask may look like standoffishness. That mask may look like, you know, just overbearing, you know, and behind all of that is fear, is worry, is, you know, is sometimes even depression that is hiding within the walls of the church, but the inability to express it for fear of judgment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like Victoria was saying, you know, for years, I would say probably from my teenage years all the way into my 30s, I suffered from depression on and off. You know, to the point where even my anxiety would get so bad, I would literally pass out while driving. You know, and it's like to get that thing under control. But really what it was is I was going through, and again, nothing against you, Joe, but women, we take on so much. You know, I was in an abusive relationship. I was trying to deal with that. I was trying to deal with four children. I was trying to deal with working. I was trying to deal with friendships. I was trying to put on this, like you said, this mask that everything was okay. And what happened is, I begin to have an emotional eruption is what I call it. I never took the time to deal with how I feel about something. I wasn't vocalizing how I felt about things. And in that, I lost my voice. And so we lose our voice a lot of times in, look at Victoria, because of fear, right? We're fearful that, you know, someone's going to come back and say, your feelings aren't valid. You know what I'm saying? So even in that, we lose the ability to speak. So it's not even a fear of speaking. It's just a fear of even maybe I'm crazy because someone has told you you're crazy. Somebody's told you you don't know what you're talking about. Someone has told you, girl, get your life together. You ain't really going through that. Your life ain't really that bad. You know, so they start discounting what you're really going through. And you start to think in your own mind, like maybe they're right. You know, and then the, in the Black community, we don't talk about mental health enough. We're just, I'm just now starting to see mental health be talked about a little bit more, but it really wasn't. Going to see a coach, going to see a therapist, going to see a psychiatrist, you know, it also makes you feel, I remember I would say, oh, I'm going to take my, my happy pills, right? But it's in those happy pills that I literally almost lost my life. The doctor said one more dose and I would have died because no one taught me how to cope with it. The doctor said, here you go. Here go your pills. You know, we have to be taught how to literally take a moment out, pause, take a breath, because the moment you take a breath, your body is determining, do I need to fight or flight? In that breath, that second that you stop, in your fear, in your moment of depression, in your moment of anxiety, yeah, you can have faith and then you'll turn and lean on that because you know that's where your help and your strength comes from. But in that moment, stop and take a breath. The taking a deep breath is going to be the best thing that you can do for your body in that moment because it's going to slow your heart rate down and everything else. I'm going to let somebody else talk now.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
Let me say that what you just described is what men deal with, but we try to keep a straight face about it. We try to hide it on something. And when we get real quiet, we're dealing with something. We may not be vocal when we deal with it because we ain't, you ain't, you guys, not, no disintended toward the women tonight. Don't jump on your pay. But we get called crazy too for some of the stuff that we do. Sometimes
or no, you're not a man.
Right.
You know, so, like my husband definitely said that, like, in his past relationships, he's been talked down for sharing his emotional battles.
Yes.
You know, it's like, why do we do that to our men? You know, that's something that men want respect. That's a whole nother show, but men want respect first and foremost. But ladies, we have to take the stance and help them express themselves because men, mental health, is a whole nother thing, I think, you know, than women. Victoria, what are your thoughts on that?
I was going to say, I wanted to go back a little bit, you know, when you was talking about the fear-based part. You know, in the fear-based part, what I found out is the majority of the times we go too far. And that's where the fear comes from, the fear and the anxiety. We overthink and overprocess those thoughts, and we go way past them till I'm in the car and I'm driving the car and I'm afraid the car gonna run out of gas. Well, in actuality, I have a half a tank of gas and maybe I need some more gas, but it's not any, that's not detrimental. But we will overthink and overprocess and go. And so we have to remember what our proclivities are. When you have the ability to go beyond that place where you should be stopping, because we have that place where we should go, and then there we should automatically have that place where we stop. But then instead of stopping, we go beyond. We go beyond. And then so, and then that's when the fear and the anxieties can be come in and grip us. And so learning what our own proclivities is to stop and take that break and get that break for ourselves is a place where we're challenged, where I have been challenged as well. But I had to, I have to remember that my moments, when I'm having a moment, moments will pass. Moments will pass. And then I have to incorporate things into these moments that may not be scripture to help me process through. I may need to sit down and take 5 minutes to just take some deep breath. Yeah. In through my nose, out through my mouth. Come in on, through man. My nose, out yeah. through my mouth. In through my nose, in, out through my mouth. And after I do that and I'm building myself, because I'm building myself up on the inside. Now, even as the scriptures tell us to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, we have to build ourselves up in the natural things mm-hmm. that are going to help us. Exercise, one of the things that I do and has been great for me is exercise. And when those challenging times come, doing a brief exercise to get my body to move and get my heart rate to going and to calm down. And back to that place where being accountable to one another. There are we can be accountable to one another and we not really realize it. Mm. And we not really realize it. Because I have had a moment where I have had to call Pastor Stephanie, like, Pastor Stephanie, are you busy? And it's that reaching out. We have to, they say a closed mouth can't be fed.
Come on now.
So if I don't reach out, at some point I have to have the ability to reach for those individuals that I know are going to help me and keep me to stepping in the right direction. Being a leader in this place is... You know, that's the thing gets me, being a leader mm-hmm. and having to go through these processes and then wondering sometimes, well, when it's time for me to talk to clients or be there for clients, are they really going to hear me? Because I have this other stuff that's going on. But the thing that I found out is that God didn't pick perfect people.
Come on now.
He did not pick perfect people. And that was a revelation. God did not pick perfect people. I just really got that revelation in the last 3 days, guys. He did not pick perfect people. He picked imperfect people to carry his word to a world that was waiting.
Yeah.
And so I have begun to say, He picked imperfect people.
Yeah.
Imperfect. Yeah. Ones that have that may not seem to be stable sometimes. But how do you know what my stability should be and should not be?
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, one thing I've also noticed too as well is that what I had to go through in my past between the mental abuse, the physical abuse, the emotional abuse, the drug abuse, the alcohol. All of those things that I had to go through, I realize now wasn't for me, but it was so that I can show somebody else that if I did it and I was a single mother of four children, married twice before, when people tell you, ain't nobody gonna want, I had my ex tell me, you fat and ain't no man gonna want you. Hmm. Well, baby, let me tell you, I had a couple of offers, okay? The one I'm married to now just got lucky. Let's put it out there like that.
Ooh, so, no, you did.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. No, you didn't, girl.
You know, but that's the thing. People will literally beat you up. You will beat yourself up. And what I found to be helpful is journaling, starting to write down my thoughts. And I'm not a person who journals every day, even though I advocate for it. Writing down, going back to that first hurt, you know. And it really came back to a point where when I was 14, trying to fit in with everybody else. That's when people started saying, oh, well, you're too dark. So then I started to stop going outside. You know, I was afraid to be outside then. So here all this fear kicked in, right? Oh, you thought you were too good because you're from New York. And, you know, then I'm living in Florida. It's like all of these things that other people tried to pour into me. And it worked for a little while until I remembered who I was and whose I was. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a thing for me. And then surrounding myself with people that will always tell me when I'm wrong in a loving way. You know, I can be checked, you know, as well. And being honest about where I am. If I'm not okay, I'm tired of saying I'm okay when I'm really not okay. You know, you might have to give me a day or two to gather my thoughts. But if you text me and say, hey, you good? I might just answer no. Mm-hmm. You know, take the time out to rest. Listen to your body. So many people are shutting down in this season, and it's not only COVID, but you have to get to that place where being okay is okay. If you're not okay, that's okay to say that. I'm not good. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm feeling this way. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed and I don't know what to do about it. Because sometimes it's just going to take your sister girl, your male friend, hey, let's come out. Let's go for a walk, like Victoria said. Mm-hmm. You know, or let's discuss, when did you first start feeling that way?
Mm-hmm. And something else that was very key that was said, you know, not expecting perfection in yourself, but then how about not expecting perfection in one another?
Yes.
You know, real unconditional agape love is that, well, I accept you right where you are, and I'm not going to judge you because you're having an up moment or judge you because you're having a down moment.
Yes.
But bearing one another's burdens means I'm walking with you through whatever that moment is.
Right.
And sometimes when you're feeling fear, being able to have people around you that said, okay, let's look at it. You know, let's see, what is it that you're afraid of? Let's look at it. Let's talk about it. Because sometimes, again, like Victoria's saying, we deal with things in our minds. And when we play things over and over in our minds, when I tell you that stuff starts to blow up to the point like, oh, tomorrow the world's going to end. By the time we get through playing it over and over again in our minds, when we speak it out, we're able to hear sometimes how unrealistic the fears may be, or the things that we may be worried about or stressing about. And that so when we're able to be open with it, when we're able to be real with it, when we're able to share it, actually put it out there on the table, like you said, journaling for you is you putting it out there, looking at it, seeing it. So, okay, well, let me really analyze what this really is. So in doing that, we're able to deal with it and really see what's going on with the different situations. Mm-hmm. And then I just want to get to this, because I want to throw this in. As the church, we really have to be able to, when we say bear one another's burdens, be patient with one another,
yeah,
as well as being patient with ourselves. You know, God is more patient with us, and he's the all-knowing, omnipotent creator of everything. And we be rushing each other to just get over it. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Or you tell me how quick to get over something. You know, I'm dealing with it. I'm processing it. And God knows my process. God is taking me through the process. So no one can judge someone else's process. So I would say that if you're around people who are pushing your process or judging your process, I love you, but I need to go talk to someone else who's just going to walk with me, even if I'm taking baby steps to get through this process, to get to where I need to get to.
Right.
Be patient with yourself. Stop beating yourself up because you're not perfect. Stop feeling like, okay, if I don't look like this person, or if I don't act like this person, then something's wrong with me. Listen, baby, nobody sets your standard but Christ. And God died for you right where you were when he died for you while we were yet sinners. He died for us. So if he has not set a standard in order to be with you and walk you through, don't let anybody else set a standard to say when you're good enough either.
And that's confirming one another. What y'all doing tonight is confirming what other people are thinking right now. And you see a lot of people popping up saying different things because y'all sparking something in people.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to hear y'all testimony. It's so key for people who are dealing with fear and anxiety and all kinds of stuff. And they need to feel like a confirmation coming from somewhere. I ain't crazy, even though they might be looking crazy. They might be looking crazy. They ain't crazy. But you know what I'm saying? They ain't alone.
Yeah, but looking crazy according to whose standard? See, that's the thing. Okay. It's like because the world says this is crazy, or because somebody who deals with things differently says this is not the way you ought to deal with it. Stop it. Stop it.
That is so key, because when I can remember when I saw a therapist, there was a time in a period where I saw a therapist and I saw a psychiatrist because of the things that I was going through. And in that place of those things that I was going through, I was dealing with a lot of grief. I was dealing with grief at that time. And then the grief, as I was dealing with that grief, I went into this depression. And I remember I kept saying, I just want to be normal. But then on whose account did I want to be normal on? Mm. Because this, you know, the things that we say when we say we want to be normal, on whose account are you trying to be normal on? Are you trying to be normal on your own grounds or normal on somebody else's ground or what they think what normal should look like? And then I had to come to the conclusion as to I'm not the only one that deal with grief. I'm not the only one that deal with sad times. It's just that my sad time and my grief had a different effect on me than it had for other people. But this was the journey that I had to go through. And as I was on that journey, and like I said, I saw a psychiatrist, I think for the first 5 years that I saw a psychiatrist, and I took medication. So that's another thing. Don't tell nobody you're taking medication or you have had to take medication. Don't you do that, especially in the church. Now we get into that place where is it a demon or what's going on But one of the things I tell people right now, you have to have the gift of discernment to discern when it's a spirit and you need to call it out, or if somebody needs some medication, because it's two different things. So when I got to that place, but you know, thanks be to God that God brought me through that. But in Him bringing me through that, I learned so much, and I began to research myself on what are the things that I needed to do for myself to help me come through this place. Yes, I believe the word of God. Yes, I trust God. But right now, I need a little bit of help, and it's called medication. But as He brought me through it, He's given me the tools on what to do, when to do, and how to do it. And it's also for me, guys, it has been awesome to have a mate that is not rushing me. Mm-hmm. That's not rushing me like, well, you need to get over that. You need to get over it. You need to come on, get yourself together. You need to clean this room up. You need to make sure my food done. I didn't have that. I have someone that's been that during times when things came up that was willing to say, okay, you know, what are we going to do about it? Didn't just leave me in there to just fight for myself, but was like, what are we going to do about it? And so as going back to that place of having somebody that can walk along with you in it, whether it's a husband, a friend, a sister, a mentor, a coach, having that individual that's right there to process through with you. And I tell you, it's a one. The journey, I years ago, I wouldn't have said that the journey was wonderful. I was like, no, ain't nothing wonderful about it. But because I know that in a day's time, how many phone calls, text messages I get from other individuals that I have no idea who they are. I saw your picture. I heard you say something. I want you to know this, that, and the other. As Shay has said earlier, learning that going through this, it wasn't just for me. It was for somebody else as well, to let them know that I made it and I'm making it. You can make it. We are going to make it.
Right. Another thing, people out there say you have to want to get better. the one thing about me, I will push somebody, and Victoria knows this, that patience, anybody who's in my circle knows that I will push you to your greatness. Whatever you want, I want that for you too, as long as it's going to be beneficial. If you want healing, I want the healing for you, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can. What I'm not going to do is I can't sit around somebody who wants to just throw a pity party, because a lot of people just want that place of pity, and they really don't want to move out of that. So you have to get to a place where if you're really in something, or even if you're just starting to get into it, get to a place where you want to get out of it. Like, you know, if you know better, you're going to do better. Right. And so I always tell, you know, people around me, my clients, you have to feel, deal, and heal. You have to feel your emotions. So get a piece of paper out, write down feel on one page. What are you feeling? What are your emotions like? What's tied to that feeling? Why are you feeling that way? Who's making you feel that way? Write down all of that, because sometimes what you're currently feeling is really associated from a past trauma, from a past hurt, from a past experience. So when you begin to connect those two, now you can deal with it, right? And you can heal from it. If you don't choose to deal with something because you don't want to feel it, you're never going to heal from it. It is in that order. And in Spanish, en ese orden, okay? So in that order, feel it. Deal with it so you can truly heal from it. Like, that's a real thing. I know we're laughing and we're joking and we're key-keying around about this, but it's a real place. And a lot of people, you know, the title has scared in there. A lot of people are afraid to even know what the other side looks like. Does it look like, if I'm depressed, but I'm depressed with this man, or I'm depressed with this woman, does the other side of getting out of that look like loneliness? Does the other side of that look like I might be by myself? Does the other side of that look like I might go through a financial struggle, or I may have to change states, or I may have to change jobs? You have to move past that place of fear and being scared. Talk to somebody, get the help. There are so many people out here who are willing to just sit down and have a conversation with you, free consultations, you know, within the church and outside of the church. So there is a platform where you have people who want to fight for you and fight with you in your corner.
Amen. You can say
something. I think that, you know, we need to ordain therapists in the church.
Come on now.
Boom.
That's something that really needs to happen.
Ordain some therapists in here.
You know, we always say you have to be real with it to deal with it.
Yeah.
And we have to create a space where people are free to be real with it so that they can deal with it.
Absolutely.
I know, I'm just going to tell really quickly, just give a little quick testimony about six, seven years ago. I was working at a job and different things were going on in our life. Things were happening, you know, with my younger son. And I developed a twitch. Mm. Because I was a pastor, you know, I'm leading people. I have to keep on. I'm going to school. You know, I have to, you know, keep things together. And I got a twitch. Okay. So the thing was, it's like, you know, when I would go to work, it's like I got to the point I would go into work. I get these blinding migraines. I'm like, I can't deal with this. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the point where I had to go and I had to get some help. And my first day going in to this therapy session, I came in and it was actually a group session. And I walked in and I was looking around and I was like, well, I'm just going to give you my name. And they were like, well, you don't want to tell me what you do? And I'm like, no. They were like, why? I said, because if I tell you what I do, I have an anxiety that you'll say, well, why are you here? You're a pastor. Why are you here? You know? And so they were like, well, no, you'd be surprised, you know, how many people, you know, are supporting other people, but they need support themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I want to just encourage people. You may be supporting someone else. You may be helping someone else, but it does not mean that you can't get help yourself. Yeah. Pastors need pastors.
Yes.
Coaches need coaches.
Say that one more time.
Coaches need coaches.
Every coach. As a matter of fact, I have my coaching tonight.
Yeah,
you know, I have my coaching session with my coach.
Yeah,
you know, because she has to make sure that she was like, you're taking on so many other people's burdens between the two businesses and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
that I have to make sure that I'm okay, that I'm processing, mm-hmm. you know, what I'm going through. And she's like, you can't coach yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I can try, but it's nice to have someone else's perspective and to help me think about something a little bit differently.
Yes.
Because really and truly a coach, for people who don't really know what a coach is, I know Victoria is, I know Pastor Stephanie is, and myself, we don't give you the answers. We give you the tools that are necessary for you to dig deep inside and what they say, do the work,
mm-hmm.
take the actionable steps. You know, we can provide you with the resources and the necessary tools. And then we give you the guidance, you know, as well to make sure that you don't go down a darker path. Like for me, I always say, I will never open up a door with a client or anybody that I'm not willing to stand there and help them close. It's just not going to happen. I think all of us take what we do very seriously, and it is a ministry. Some people get into it for just the money, but what I know the four of us here do, is it is a ministry to us, and we are very passionate, and we care about each and every single person that sends a text message, a phone call, an email, an inbox. You know, I remember getting, I would just put up random posts, you know, from time, still do, and I had this girl to inbox me right before I shut down my computer. And she said she was thinking about committing suicide. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this girl from a can of paint. Mm-hmm. I immediately got on Facebook Messenger and I started messaging her. And she said, I didn't think you would reach back out to me. And I'm like, well, why not? You message me.
Mm-hmm.
God kept me on the computer just long enough to be able to connect with her. You know, and every day I checked in with her just to make sure she was good, because it's bigger than the dollar sign. You know what I'm saying?
So right before, so we only got a couple more minutes and I really want to go round table. I just want to say, I'll go first, but I want everyone, if you can tell anyone out here, you know, they say, I have faith, but I'm still scared, worried, or depressed. And one thing that you would tell them, what would it be? And I want to go real first. I want you all to know to end it up. The one thing I would tell you, if you know you have faith and you're trying to deal with things, you know, on your own, I want to encourage you to reach out and grab someone's hand to go through the journey with you. It is really hard to go through the journey by yourself. And not only that, but we have an enemy that can really tell when you're going through something, and he has a tendency to pile on and whisper other things to you that will sometimes exasperate the situation. And to be able to reach out to get help, just so someone may be able to look at the situation, walk you through it, and give you another perspective that may dissipate the fear. So the only thing I would say is, if you are going through a situation, I have faith, but I'm scared, I'm worried, I'm depressed, I just want to say, just reach out to someone. Find a partner, someone that can help. Find a coach, a pastor, a therapist, someone, but don't go through it by yourself. Okay, mm-hmm. Then I want to give it to Victoria and then to Shay.
I would kind of piggyback off of that. I would say stop, drop, and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. And take account of what's going on.
Yeah.
That I would say stop, drop. I would say drop everything that you're doing.
Mm.
And then I would say roll over into some sessions, some appointments, roll over into those. Because as long as you stop, it gives you a moment to think, to have some clarity.
Mm-hmm.
If you drop and you place everything down that's in your hand, you whatever weight you're carrying, you can put it down. And then you can roll, and you can begin to roll and mean move in a direction that's going to be beneficial to you and reach. That's what I would say to someone tonight.
Amen.
Well, shoot, I really don't have much to say either. But I am going to say, take a moment and take that first breath.
Yes.
Again, that first breath is going to let your body know that we don't have to flee. We don't have to fight. We can just be okay. Like, we're okay. no, you're not in danger. You're not in trouble. You're going to calm yourself down enough so that you don't say anything that you don't mean. You're not going to react in a way that you don't need to react. And then, you know, piggyback on what everybody else says, you're not alone. What you're going through is not just for you, but it's also for somebody else. There are people who do care. And if you're still at that point where you're like, yeah, but I don't know, then feel it. Allow yourself to go through the feelings, deal with it, allow yourself to deal with it in time. And then that way you can truly heal from it. So absolutely. But the first step for me is taking a deep breath.
So that's what we want to end on. We want to end on everybody. Let's take a deep breath. And I try to tell people when you take a deep breath, the way I like to do it is in for a count of four and out for a count of eight. So like everybody, let's just take a deep breath. In for a count of four, two, three, four, and out for eight. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Do that three times, and I guarantee you, you will feel better to be able to take the next step to deal with whatever it is that you want to deal with. Amen? Amen.
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 Awesome. Well, this has been absolutely awesome. We love you, Shay, Victoria. God bless you. We love you just so much.
Love you, Matt.
The Page to Speak. Next week, next week's show, we're talking about, you know what? That's hypocrisy. And just really pointing out some stuff that, you know, we may not think is hypocritical, but it is.
Yeah.
So next week, you know what? That's hypocrisy. That's what we're going to be talking about next week at 9 p.m. on the Page to Speak. We love you. Bless you. You got something?
Therapy is good.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.